Listening Library presents Chaos and Flame by Tessa Grattan and Justina Ireland. Read for you by Jonice Abbott Pratt and James Foey.
Chaos. The first time the Scion of House Dragon painted the eyeless girl, he was only 6 years old. She was nothing but a face shaped with finger smears of brown, a darker, crooked line that might have been a sad smile, and huge, swirling black holes where her eyes should be. "I don't know how to save her," he said to his mother when he presented the art to her. His mother accepted the soft parchment, doing her best to hide the horror she felt at the red-rimmed, furious eye holes in her son's painting. Casually, she asked, "Why is she in danger?" "I don't know." "What happened to her eyes?" "Nothing yet," the little boy shrugged. Though the dragon consort asked a few more delicate questions, he could give her no answers. But he drew the eyeless girl again and again, and told his nurse about her, and his aunt, and his father eventually. That was a mistake, because he was far too old for imaginary friends, his father growled. The consort promised her husband, the dragon regent, it was only childish play, and their son would grow out of it. Better an imaginary friend, she thought, than the truth she suspected deep in her heart. Her son had been gifted with a boon, but it was a prophetic one, and prophecy always drove the wielder mad. The people of Perlanum would never accept a regent with such a wild boon, and to shield her eldest son, the consort extracted a promise from him to stop talking about the girl and certainly to stop painting her. He must never paint anything from a dream or vision. It was dangerous. The young scion agreed, thrilled to have such an illicit thing binding him with his mother. And he kept his promise for 2 entire years, until his mother was murdered. The day she died, the consort and the scion were pruning in their private garden. She injured herself on a few reckless roses, and when she gasped, the scion saw a flash of vision, in strokes of vivid paint, a fan of dark blue skirts against the harsh black and white checkered floor of his mother's solar, golden sunlight smeared in streaks, and a kiss of crimson splattered at her mouth and in her hair, a spilled cup near her hand, leaking sickly green. It would have been a beautiful painting, had he been allowed to create it. But the scion had learned his lesson well. His boon was a curse, and he did not say or do anything. Later, when his mother lay dead on the marble floor, the boy realized this was not a game, not a thrilling secret. It was a matter of life and death. Had he been braver, he might have saved his mother from the poison in that cup. He wailed and clawed at his hair until his aunt, his mother's sister, gathered him up in her arms. "What happened, little dragon? Who did this?" The scion hugged her neck so tightly. "Don't tell anyone," he begged. I'm sorry, I couldn't save her, I didn't even try. I'm sorry, please." "Hush, hush, it's all right." "I didn't save her," he whispered, sobbing. "I have to save her." "It's too late, little dragon," his aunt murmured. "No," he said again and again. He threw himself away from his aunt and ran to his rooms. Found chalk and old cracked paint pots and ripped paper out of books in a tantrum. The scion drew and drew, scrawling images of that eyeless girl. He refused food, he refused his father and his baby brother, he refused everything but paint, and finally he locked the door, screaming to be left alone unless anybody was going to help. When his aunt had the door kicked in, the scion's room was a disaster of paintings and spilled color, wasted effort, childish, ugly pictures, blurs and shapes that looked like nothing but impressions of landscapes or people, castles and gardens and ships and massive ancient creatures the houses called their imperials. A figure of fire, broad-winged and gorgeous. The Eyeless Girl. His aunt recognized the monsters, if not the girl. Dragon, Griffin, Bargast, Sphinx, Cockatrice, Kraken, and the first phoenix. But the scion tore the phoenix painting down the middle and threw a heavy book at his aunt. "Bring me a master to show me how it's done," he cried. "I have to find her. It's soon." "What is soon?" asked his aunt. She put her arm around him. "Who is she?" "You'll see," the young scion said, pulling away. While the young scion lost himself in painting dreams, Perlanum descended into violence. House Dragon accused House Sphinx of murdering their beloved consort. The grief-stricken dragon regent demanded retribution, forcing all the great houses to choose sides, and reviving the house wars after more than 20 years of peace. Bloodshed consumed the land, and the young scion found he could not save the eyeless girl. "It's too late," he whispered to the disaster of art surrounding him, the night his father, leagues away, massacred the entire family line of House Sphinx. The new house war raged on for years, and instead of the eyeless girl, the scion painted darkness, thick black streaks, chunky peaks of gray and angry blue, the underlying red, 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 heartbeat red, of sunlit memories behind tight-shut eyes, a bruise of purple over green black, ocean black, midnight, moonless black. When his baby brother asked what he painted, the scion only hissed at him, chasing him from the room. House Dragon took more and more of the country, forcing the other houses into submission. Finally, House Dragon captured Phoenix Crest, the ancient home of the Phoenix, those keepers of peace who had vanished during the first House Wars more than 100 years ago. The Dragon Regent declared himself High Prince Regent over all Perlanum. His family left their northern mountains to occupy the fortress, and there the dragon scion's aunt was left in charge of the boy and his small brother, while their father continued his war. Though House Cockatrice fled Perlanum entirely, she managed to hire artists to tutor the scion. Cockatrice had been the house of her birth, after all, and that of her sister. She bought the scion paint and paper, canvas and ink and charcoal. He grew as his skills did, becoming taller and stronger, but still very pretty, with a constant flush of fever in his sharp white cheeks, a ghostly gleam in his pale green eyes. He was prone to fits of laughter or staring at nothing, sure signs of madness, the court gossiped. At his aunt's prodding, the dragon scion learned to be charming, too, and concealed the wildness he felt. He studied language and policy and economics. He flirted and argued and led council meetings during his father's frequent absences. Soon, everyone believed his disposition to be merely long-running grief. After all, his mother, the late dragon consort, had been glorious and special, hadn't she? So her glorious and special son would survive. He would lead them well. Chaos willed it, no matter that his painting boon would be useless in a leader. But his aunt, she knew the truth of his boon. She whispered to him that she had always had gently prophetic dreams. They ran in their family. Her grandmother had been a brilliant prophet too. His aunt offered to take the secrets he painted and use them for House Dragon on his behalf. The young scion agreed. She studied every painting for clues, and when she discovered them, told the High Prince Regent unknowable things. Where the last remnants of House Sphinx hid, the location of an ambush, the look of a spy. The High Prince Regent gave her the title of Dragon Seer, and the young scion was glad to have his secret kept.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?